Good afternoon, Planet Boblimtok. Good afternoon to all the sectors and all the quadrants. Good afternoon to the dimensions and the tiny places where the little fairies live. Good afternoon to Bigfoot and the Raccoon King. Good afternoon to the eagle and the sky monkey. Good afternoon to the squirrel and the rat. Good afternoon to the dog and the cat baby. It is still June the 7th, 2022. In the time of Boblimtok, you live on Greenkin Avenue. Your landlord is a hooker. Yeah, it's still Tuesday. Here in Utah, is it Wednesday where you live? Is it Thursday or Friday? Has space-time become unstable? Is a rift opening up from which the universal chasm and the oils and greases? The rift is opening, baby. First topic. I'm going to read an article from Zero Hedge. This article was published today on Zero Hedge by the nom de plume Tyler Durden. Headline: Hunter's hooker scored $20,000 in PPP loan as Joe Biden entered the White House, aka the Golden Shower. The aka is not part of the headline, but I think they could have called this Hunter's Hooker's Golden Shower, and it would have worked just as well. A Las Vegas prostitute featured throughout Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop scored a $20,207 Paycheck Protection Program loan for having a, quote, female-owned sole proprietorship, right after Joe Biden moved into the White House, according to the Daily Wire. The woman, Cheryl DeBoves, listed herself as being in the field of independent artists, writers, and performers. Texts between the two reveal she was trying to help Hunter juggle with Juggies his excessive whoremongering. And I quote, "Honestly, babe, the problem is you have too many girls there," she texted him in August 2018. "I understand you like a lot of girls, but that's fine. Do one at a time. At the tops, to which is fine, but just hire the second girl for like 1 hour, baby." More texts suggest that the younger Biden and DeBoves, who in 2017 pled no contest to a prostitution charge, include references to orgies and drug deals gone wrong. Holy shit, orgies gone wrong. Orgy's gone wrong. What's becoming of the world? when orgies go wrong. Hunter Biden's reply to the message above implied that the first son was committed to orgies over one-on-one assignations. And I quote, "Yes, I do want you to come over, but with the confidence that with me, it's not an either or for who stays and who goes," he wrote. The next week, Hunter Biden tasked her with buying crack supplies for him. "Hey, baby, you need a pipe and chore," she wrote. And when DeVos didn't return, Biden texted her, "What the fuck, babe, where are you?" Her reply was disturbing. "Baby, I am so sorry. Listen, I'm not trying to take advantage of you, but I spent all the money that you got me on black," she texted. "I went to Walmart to get needles, babe," according to the Daily Wire. In one poignant text exchange, DeVos asked Hunter to swoop in and save her from a ruffian. "Eric keeps threatening me, and now he has someone named Keaton threatening me too, who just got out of prison or whatever. Can you please help me? Like, he scares me a lot. I hate it when men threaten women," she wrote, to which Hunter ghosted her until he wanted sex again. Oh, he's a real fucking knight in shining armor there, Miss DeVos. "Can you please call me? It's an emergency," she texted at one point, which Hunter ignored until February 28th, 2019, when he texted her, "Hi, beautiful. How are you? Been too long." And then sent her $500 through Venmo, according to emails on his laptop. DeVos received the PPP loan on April the 7th, 2021, Boblimtok, less than 90 days after Joe Biden was inaugurated. Her ostensible roommate, Melissa Underbrink, who shared the same address, also received a PPP loan on May the 5th, 2021, despite having apparently been in prison for credit card theft until late 2019. According to the report, the check was made out to a self-employed individual in the industry of all other personal services. Well, that's right. That sounds true. Credit card fraud sounds like all other personal services. PPP loans were not supposed to be distributed to criminals. Well, you live on the Death Star, motherfuckers. Are you stupid? I mean, this would be my question to Tyler Durden, whoever the fuck he is. Are you fucking stupid? PPP loans were not supposed to be distributed to criminals. Everybody that wakes up every fucking morning has broken some federal law. You just don't know it yet. And as far as douchebags go and douchebags getting PPP loans, I promise you, this hooker and her hooker girlfriend are unlikely to be the worst cases. The worst cases are the ones that probably involved the military-industrial complex, probably involved the security complex, the healthcare complex, probably involved the scaring people to fucking death industry. Those would have been the worst cases, Tyler fucking Durden. PPP loans were not supposed to be distributed to criminals. Holy fuck, man. I mean, you guys are on the East Coast, so you live in a giant prison colony surrounded by communists and pedophiles. What the fuck? According to the program's website, a business is ineligible due to an owner's criminal history if the owner has been convicted of, pleaded guilty, or no contest, or commenced any form of parole or probation for a felony involving fraud, bribery, embezzlement, or a false statement in a loan application, or an application for federal financial assistance within the last 5 years, no PPP. There you go, folks. That is all the news that is fit to print. And I guess I did beat up on Zero Hedge a bit, but it's a joke. Okay, people will say, I can't understand why they would forgive student loans. But these same fuckers, in many cases, have their Fannie Freddie mortgage system generating cash flow property money through a 100% crooked scheme. The entire housing industry is one gigantic crooked fucking scheme. But these same fuckers will complain, I don't want the students forgiven. You know what? I just want to be able to go fucking bankrupt. Like the Constitution originally fucking guaranteed, by the fucking way. For all you assholes out there who tell me, I want to restore the Constitution, please fucking do. It's overdue. But I simply want to go bankrupt on all that shit. I don't care to pay back any of the Death Star money, and I don't give a fuck. And if your attitude is, well, Dan, that means you don't care. You know what? There is no obligation to evil. There is no obligation to a grifter. If a grifter takes advantage of you, you've been fucked. But if you decide to listen to that grifter ever again, and I don't care if it's the credit card grifter, the banker grifter, the stock market grifter, or the fucking Bitcoin grifter, that's your fuck up. My perspective is, I have no money. One of the fringe benefits of being so deeply fucking shadow banned is there's no danger of me making any fucking money. So there's nothing to squeeze out of the stone. You know, this good money versus bad money bullshit is getting fucking old. We all live on the same Death Star, and whether you like it or not, you're making money just by being here on this fucking Death Star and all the crooked shit it does makes you money. You may not see the connection because you didn't get through that transitive phase of reasoning that Piaget talks about, but I promise you, motherfucker, if you live in the United States of America, you are taking advantage of the Death Star life and getting Death Star money. I mean, maybe you're living in a cave someplace and trading beaver pelts. I have no idea. But if the cave is in the United States of America, guess what? You're still getting Death Star money. Motherfucker. So stop with this good money versus bad money bullshit. Every fiat dollar that gets printed is literally and figuratively shit money. And it's shit money that is not mostly spent on welfare queens. It is shit money that is not spent mostly on food banks. It is shit money that is not spent mostly on the homeless. All the people we love to beat up on. No, it's shit money spent on the fucking military-industrial complex. Spent on hospitals to fucking poison people and scare people to death. It is shit money that is mostly spent on shit. So stop with the fucking, I can't believe they got this free money. You know what? I should have applied for a PPP loan. If these two fucking hookers could have gotten PPP loans, I could have gotten a golden shower, taken that golden shower. At the time, I thought about it, and then I realized, well, A, I'm an anarchist, so I usually wince a bit at taking any extra, you know, Darth Vader bucks. And then B, I thought it, you know, it would be kind of crooked, kind of wrong. I don't know. At the time, I thought the entire COVID bullshit was bullshit and participating in it in any form was wrong. On the other hand, I had a brother who gave me some of his magical money. And, you know, God bless him for being so generous, but I look back at 2020 and I just wonder. I wonder at the collective delusion that instead of ending, morphed into a permanent state of collective delusion. And it's not something any of us wanted. It was done to you. It was done to me. But you still have the choice to reject the bullshit. Okay? A story like this about Hunter Biden has no resolution. He is never going to go to jail. Okay? People like Epstein, you say, oh, well, he went to jail. Yeah, you really think he's dead? Someone like that probably has so many dead man switches in so many fucking countries. The most likely location of Epstein right now is the state of Israel. Or maybe some weird fucking island in the South Pacific. But I can tell you this much, it is not very likely he was A, murdered, or B, suicided. It's way more likely that that deep state cockroach went back to whatever safe place in the shadows that piece of shit would feel comfortable in. And if Ghislaine Maxwell ever ends up in the same situation, she might very well end up on the same magical island. All you guys, not all you, but a lot of people believe cartoon versions of reality. It's why so many people got fucking you know, taken advantage of by the Q phenomena. Because a lot of you just need to believe a bullshit story that is less painful than reality. Okay? A lot less painful. Even the FEMA camp bullshit is less painful than the truth. An article like this is designed to just make people pissed off. An article like this is designed to pop smoke. And based upon what I've seen, Sovietologically speaking, if they're popping smoke, it's because the psyops have to continue. They're keeping the fucking story going. I don't care if it's Ukraine, the monkey herpes, the race war, the gender catastrophe, whichever collective pain point or open wound they need to rub salt into, they're going to rub salt into it. And who knows, the next version of the monkey herpes could be coming around. It could have been the monkey pox, but it was too on the nose, baby. They've been listening to my podcast. Too on the nose, so it's not the monkey pox. You know, and listen, for all my beating up on Zero Hedge, it is the only site I still go to. I mean, I can't go to any other news sites. I will sometimes click through a link from Zero Hedge to another news source, but it's, you know, very rare, unless I feel like it's something I want to read about on the podcast. But the reality is, Zero Hedge is the last quote-unquote news site I'll go to. And every once in a while, there are some pretty good takes, but there's a lot of this dreck, you know, this sort of divide and conquer bullshit. And that's what the gender stuff's about, divide and conquer bullshit. I don't care which side you're on. The fact that you entertain those stupid thoughts or participate in that bullshit makes you a fucking idiot. Okay, if you're Matt Walsh and you did some great documentary about what a woman is, great. But you know what would have been braver and more amazing? If people just ignored fucking stupid. Okay, you're giving stupid power by focusing on it. You're taking a beam of light, dark energy, and you're thinking, oh, this dark energy beam will destroy my enemy. The reality is these fuckers feed off your dark energy. Okay, you know, they may not be demons, but they behave like demons, and all they want is your dark energy. So your best move is not some deep introspective journey into what a woman is, or to care about the race war, or to fucking wear a coffee filter. Your best move is to ignore all this fear, all of it, period. And in a city right now, it's hard. Because I left Seattle a year ago, and I can tell you, that place had already become a snake pit. And if you don't know what a snake pit is, research some film history and some psychiatric history. But yeah, that place had become a snake pit. And I didn't need to be there. I didn't need to see other human beings behaving so badly, and I did not need to see how they treated each other. I was done with it. If I'd stayed there... I don't know what I would have done, but I gotta say something. I had some thoughts. You know, the kinds of thoughts you don't talk about on a podcast. So, yeah, I don't want to spend much more time on the Hunter Biden bullshit. Is it lurid? Yes. Is it disgusting? Kinda. Is he just kind of a man whore? Yeah. And I will tell you something else. There's probably a high likelihood, if this story is true, because like I said... some of this stuff is true, some of it's just bullshit. But if this story is true, I think there's a fairly high likelihood that his father, Joe Biden, sexually molested him. I think that his behaviors, his activities, everything about him indicates somebody that's suffering from some really deep abuse. And given what we know about Joe Biden, it seems like he's a pedophile. He might be a pedophile with Alzheimer's, and if you want to give him a pity point for that, fine. Okay? It's kind of horrible in the following sense, that if he ever did have a moment of introspective guilt, he no longer has the memory to really remember what he did. And in that sense, maybe he's being dealt the kindness, but he doesn't deserve it. If you want to put the Hunter Biden story into a box, this guy, he's not a good guy, but he probably was abused by his father. It really looks like that now. If all these weird stories are true, it looks like someone who was so badly damaged by his parents that he basically ended up the way he is. And, you know, what do you say? What do you do with that? He's older than me, okay? And I'm 52 fucking years old. And if you're 52 fucking years old and you haven't figured out this shit yet, you haven't come to understand where things are at, if you have pain and suffering, I get it, but you are in your 50s, okay? I think he's older than me, but I think he's certainly over 50. And the point is, at this point in your life, the midlife, you should at least try to get over your bullshit. And I know that I've had a hard time. I was 46 years old when I could finally forgive my dad for things I held against him. So I get it. But my dad never sexually abused me. My dad never did the things to me that President Biden probably did to his son. And so, yeah, I could have ended up just like this piece of shit. It just turns out that I had a much better father than this piece of shit, and that makes a difference. Having a good mom and a good dad, even if they're not perfect, even if they got their own issues, and believe me, every family does, having a decent set of parents is sometimes the difference between ending up like this piece of shit or, worst case scenario, ending up like me. And I don't go around harming people. No one's required to listen to my podcast. And believe me, they do a good job of keeping it hidden. So overall, I don't harm people. I'm a little bit in debt, yeah. And I don't know if I'll ever be able to pay it back. And I'm not sure it matters. I really don't. I think it matters at this point. You know, I'm kind of surprised that I might be going back into the corporate world for a while, working remotely. But at the same time, I'm not surprised. You know, there are things that people consciously will try to resolve and come to grips with, and then other people will simply push that stuff down and let their unconscious resolve it. And sometimes when the unconscious resolves it, it releases the truth, but not in a very comfortable way. And if you were to look around America today and you wanted to know the truth is, there were people a long time ago who fought for a free country. And within the first decade, they sold that birthright of a free country for the quote-unquote protections of a Bill of Rights. Which, again, once included the right to go completely bankrupt, which was taken away many years ago. Okay? You should be able to go bankrupt. I'm not saying anybody owes you a fucking dime, but if somebody lends you money and that ends up going wrong, well, that is a shame on you scenario. Everybody has a right to go bankrupt. If corporations can go fucking bankrupt every 60 fucking seconds, and oh, by the way, if you're a Trumpster, you should really meditate on that fucking good or bad PPP bullshit, fuck you. Believe me, Trump has had his share of really greasy money. And Trump has had his share of, you know, bankruptcies. And so when you put this all into a box and we move on, the only thing I think you could say, beyond the fact that this is a lurid, tawdry story, is that probably the president of the United States sexually abused his son. I think there's a high likelihood now. Next topic. So also from Zero Hedge, I think this last week, there were a couple articles relating to, you know, the food service industry, you know, food delivery, food. And the links are in the notes. One of the articles had to do with, you know, if you don't tip well enough, your delivery drivers will steal food. And to me, that does not seem like the worst case scenario. I mean, people do pick their butts. I mean, COVID fuckers will wear the coffee filter, but they'll still pick their butts. And the other article has to do with how restaurants are adding these line items to the bill of, you know, an inflation adjustment. So instead of being honest, which is what they should be doing, and simply raising the prices of the menu, that's what honest people do, they're adding this special line item that tells you how much more is being added because of inflation. Brothers and sisters, if you run a business and you do crooked shit like that, fuck you. That is gaslighting. That is bullshit. You know what inflation is? It's when the price of something goes up. You don't need a special extra line item that you pay at the grocery store. The milk goes up, okay? The eggs go up. And at some point, the price of the beef goes up or it's simply not to be found. And when you hear good old Uncle Dan talking about this society as a neo-Stalinist hellhole, understand there's a reason. Not just that I studied Soviet history, not just because the patterns repeat themselves, but because this is a crooked, crooked system masquerading as a free society. And in a crooked system, shit starts breaking in very uncomfortable ways, usually for the poor people first, for the little people. You know, I ordered chicken fried rice once. I ordered chicken fried rice once from one of these fusion Asian places in Little Saigon, Seattle. They showed up 3 hours late and demanded a tip. $20. It was some scrombo freak from the Central District. He'd missed his audition for a Macklemore video shoot. His eyes glowed blue. I knew he was dosing that new street drug, Sklink. His hands were shaking, and clearly there was dried semen on the top of the delivery box. Moral of the story, if you see fusion, quote-unquote, like Asian fusion, Latin fusion, Mediterranean fusion, in the name of the restaurant, don't ever, just don't. It doesn't mean what you think it means. There's a little extra on top. Do not get the chicken salad delivered in Seattle. When it comes to delivery food, the key word organic does not mean what you think it means. That's right. That's right. When it comes to delivery food, if it says organic, it's not what you think it is. Be careful with that organic food. Be careful. Amongst delivery people, waiters and waitresses, the key word tipping does not mean what you think it means. In food delivery slang, it means sticking the penis into the food prior to delivery, but just the tip. Do you know what Thousand Island dressing is? Your delivery driver does. Believe me. If you live in Dallas, Texas, never order the turkey chili. Just don't. It's not what you think. Don't ever get clam chowder delivered in Chicago. Ever. It's not what you think. Mexican-style pizza, also not what you think. Yeah, you don't want to order that. On Wall Street, it's really popular among the hedge fund people and the investor dudes, all the high-level advisors and financial kings and queens. It's really popular amongst these really powerful money people on Wall Street you know, to order what's called the BD option on food delivery. That is the biomatter delivery option. You can choose various kinds of cum and blood and stool and booger and genital crabs, earwax, scrapings of scabs. The biomatter delivery option's really popular, especially amongst the hedge funds. If the delivery dude says, "What about tamper-proof?" Nope. You put the stool or dried cum on the food before you seal it, and your solution does not work. You could take that tamper-proof thingy and have extra ones in your car. You transfer the food. You smear it with fecal matter and scabs and boogers and earwax, and then it looks sealed, so it must be fresh and organic. Being over-friendly, don't be friendly to these people. They are your enemy. Yeah, over-friendly means boogers and boob juice. Under-friendly means urine and loin grease. Under-tipping means blood and cum. Bad attitude leads to genital crabs being sprinkled on your pizza. 87% of those who deliver your food have poorly managed, pervasive genital crabs. This is what science says. The crabs often end up in or on the food that gets delivered. It's easy to camouflage the cum, the blood, the stool in a pizza, especially if they cook it in first, especially if they put it on cold with the cheese. You'll never know that they put some stuff on there, some extra stuff. It's organic. Some delivery drivers enjoy sticking their fingers in their butts and then dipping their fingers into your beef bouillon dipping sauce with your French dip order. A lot of delivery people masturbate in the car while they're waiting and then smear their semen on your food and steal your food. No. You know, they'll spit in your food or put turd oils on your food. Yeah, often. Learn to cook your own food, baby. If you're going to Paris and staying in a hotel, avoid ordering any room service with the phrase "grand cru" is used. Also avoid any food item that is listed as fresh. And that pretty much applies to any hotel anywhere. If you order something fresh, quote unquote, it's not going to be what you want. It's going to have something on it, baby, something you don't want. Try having a fish taco delivered in Phoenix. Then try the land crab. If you order corned beef hash from one of those food delivery services in Los Angeles, more often than not, it's dog food mixed with minced French fries from some fast food place. Best advice I can give is from John Carpenter's The Thing. And we should all be only eating out of cans now. But do you want me to tell you about where that canned food comes from? I got some Dinty Moore stew. When I was a kid, there was a piece of a scrubber. Someone had been scrubbing out the vat, scrubbing it out for rat turds, scrubbing it out for people's biomatter, boogers and cum. And they left some of the scrubber in there, and some of that ended up in my can of stew. So just because you're eating out of cans, you know, Kurt Russell, doesn't mean you're safe. It really doesn't. When it comes to the biomatter option on Wall Street, it's all about the extras, the add-ons, and their impact on the bill. Trezin grease increases by 14% the bill. Nog and Zinder is a 22% bump. And so that employees don't spit on your food, you have to pay 200%. Ho Chicks is 100%. And Skundo Reeve is a 3% add-on. But that's if you work on Wall Street and you run one of these big hedge funds and you're a master of the Gooniverse, then you're fine. You're fine. Next topic, you know. So here's a quote from Dr. Freckles, and I'm going to drink a little water here so I can inscluviate my Brimptus pipe. I know you love that. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. After some empire or government fails, people invariably say, we will construct a bigger, better tower this time, and it can't fail. Dr. Freckles. Now, what's he talking about? Well, some of this is kind of biblical. You know, the Tower of Babel in Genesis actually represents the kind of arrogance on the part of people. This arrogance, this belief that we can, in fact, make this world Eden wrong. We got kicked out of Eden. This can be a great place, but it's never going to be Eden wrong. But what's as bad is we can make this place Eden and we can set ourselves up as God. Wrong. And every time one of these government Ponzi's fail, and governments are a kind of absolute Ponzi. They're the ultimate Ponzi. Or maybe they're the ultimate cult, what I sometimes refer to as the greater Scientology, you know? Every time one of these governments fail, you'll hear some motherfucker saying, well, this time it'll work. This time it'll be different. In some ways, the United States government baked this crazy into the system by which you think you select leaders, you know, the voting. The voting every couple years, every 4 years, gets people all hot and bothered. And, oh, if my guy wins, Hillary's going to jail. If my guy wins, that war's going to end. If my guy wins or gal wins, they'll legalize pot at the federal level. Yeah, probably not any of those things are ever going to fucking happen. And as far as the wars go, there is no anti-war party in Washington, D.C. You might think there once was, but there isn't one now. Everyone's kind of pro-war, especially with the economic circumstances that this neo-Stalinist hellhole finds itself in. Every single fucking four couple years, it's like this time, if my guy or girl is in office, everything will be made fine and better. And invariably, you're disappointed. And invariably, you still wake up and decide to vote the next time. I get it. I understand it. It's a fetish, okay? It's a coping mechanism. I have a couple. But at least I understand them as coping mechanisms, and they don't involve the threat of force against my neighbor, which voting ultimately does. I mean, I don't think it works. I don't think that button is connected to anything. But if it were, you would still be threatening your neighbors to solve problems. And that's pretty fucking stupid. You can call that democracy, or you can call it gang warfare by other means. I think the latter is more correct. Next topic. Another quote from Dr. Freckles. All my plan Bs are bad. Which is generally true. I mean, I have pretty good plan A's, but my plan B's tend to be a real piece of shit. And I don't want to go into why, you know. You and I, as human beings, make the best choices we can while we're alive. And there's no guarantee you'll stay alive. There's no guarantee you'll be happy or comfortable. There are no guarantees on planet Boblimptok. This is not Eden, okay? Maybe in Eden, if Adam and Eve wanted to open up a gas station, they could have stuck a pipe down and they would have had the infinite oil forever. But this isn't Eden. This is not the Millennium Kingdom. This is the in-between land, as I've said before, where people get sick and die and bad things happen to good people. It doesn't mean it can't be made better, but I'll just tell you straight up. If your goal is to perfect this system, you're already starting out wrong. So I don't know. All my plan Bs are bad. Next topic or quote from Dr. Freckles. There's a reason we cast our gaze upwards towards God and downward towards to Satan, because looking down on the devil is a thing for Christians. Okay. I think there's something to that. Like, I've often thought about, you know, again, I'm not a flat earther, but I've often thought about that question, you know, of looking down to the center of the spear, to the core of the earth, and saying to yourself, that is where hell is. That's not where hell is. Okay, the core of the earth is down there. And if you keep going past the core, you go to the other side of the planet, right, Neil deGrasse Tyson? But there is something about looking down on somebody. It is disdain. It is pity. It is not worship. It is not respect. You are looking down on something small, something tiny, aka Lucifer. I mean, for all Lucifer's power, and believe me, angels of his caliber have and had a lot of power. Probably he still has a lot. Probably if he wanted to, he could smite you. He could show up at your house tonight and kill you. But the reality is you'd probably almost instantaneously go to heaven, especially if you're a believer. Probably only if you're a believer, but that's a separate topic. And the thing is, Satan wants to win you. He doesn't like you. He doesn't care for you, but he wants to win your soul. The soul that you cannot give to him unless you do so willingly. So, we look down on Satan because he's a small, small insect of a thing in a lot of ways. He had it all. When you think about it, you want to talk about losers. Here's a definition of a loser. Satan had the love and the admiration of the Most High, of God. God considered Lucifer beautiful. God considered him special amongst the angels. And that was not enough, you know? You know, like Glenn Close in that movie, Fatal Attraction. Michael Douglas had sex with the wrong crazy woman. Satan is a lot like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction. I mean, you know, and in this case, it's like after the fall in a lot of ways, or at least partly there. But, you know, Satan could have been happy with the love he was capable of finding in the Lord. And instead, he wanted all the love in the world. And the thing is, if you understand love, love doesn't run out. I mean, oil's going to run out at some point, unless you believe in abiotic oil. I got to be honest with you, I think that's mostly bullshit. But oil and resources run out, okay? And certainly government stupidity reduces the efficiency of everything. Food, water, shelter, if the government's involved, it's probably fucked up. But there's not a limit on love. That is another mistake of the devil, and it's a reason for looking down and pitying the devil, you know, feeling sorry for Satan. Love is a choice, like forgiveness, but there's no limit to it. There's no like, oh, you only get to love two people, or you only get to love six people. You only get to love white people or black people. You only get to love people who are gay or lesbian or something else. No, you can love everyone or no one. It's your choice. But there's no amount of love they're going to run out of. In fact, if people understood that, the world might be a better place. But instead, a lot of people act like Satan. A lot of people act like Glenn Close. If this one person doesn't love me, then my world comes to an end. If I can't collect worshipers around me, I have no power. That's weakness. It's ignorance. It's sadness. And it's a world without love. So, next topic. You know how I've been taking scrapings from Zero Hedge, you know, the pop-up ads and whatnot, the little article links on the side. I know they get their gold, their silver. God bless them. Everybody needs some money. But what I'll do is I'll take screenshots, and I've been doing this the last few podcasts because some of these things just lead me down weird roads. Like, did you know that Alan Jackson's daughter came forward with an announcement about him? Now, of course, the way it's framed, it looks like it's horrible, like some bad announcement. But in fact, I think the announcement was, my dad was there for me. Okay, that's not that in. Kurt and Goldie's announcement, what did they announce? I think they announced nothing. They said, fuck you, Hollywood. Fuck you, world. I'm Kurt Russell. I'm Goldie Hawn. Fuck you. Fuck you. The funniest airport moments ever, caught on camera. Like John Travolta, dressed in drag. Sadly, the septuplets, they're in the news again. They formed a gang. They're robbing banks. Chevy Chase ruined his career. He did too much crack cocaine. They found a World War II submarine. It had 80 bodies in it. In suspended animation, alien hookers, Hunter Biden wanted to know. Oh, Hunter, you'll get the space crabs. You'll get the space disease. Your junk will glow like a thousand suns. Dirty secrets are on cruise ships. And those dirty secrets end up in Paris canals. They're gonna drain the canal. They're gonna find the bodies. They'll find the hooker wife you dumped in the sea. That's right, the hooker wife you dumped in the sea. Another woman finds a secret trapped in a wall. She heard a noise like that Lovecraft, you know, story, The Rats in the Walls, right? That's a good little short story with some racism. It does. It has a little racism in it. The name of the cat. But no, this woman, she heard a noise, a scream in the night. She heard a howling noise. It gave her a fright. She bought some dynamite. She bought a machete. She poured gasoline in the wall. She burnt it alive. And later, they made a gruesome discovery in the Arctic. They found the thing she burned, frozen in ice. It traveled through time, ended up in the Arctic. That space in her wall was really a wormhole. And then she set fire to creatures 7,000 light years away. Yeah, she dug into her wall to find the noise. She poured gasoline in there. She set it on fire. She tossed in a few sticks of dynamite, but little did she know there was a wormhole to a different world, and she'd murdered billions. So they sent their time warriors to wipe us out, and that was the discovery they made in the Arctic. Isn't it great how things are all fucking connected? Isn't it great how things are connected? Next topic, right? Next topic. Maybe the final topic probably is. I've been talking to my primary care physician, Dr. Grunkus. He still lives in Little Saigon, Seattle. He tells me it's time for my annual checkup. He wants me to do things. Stick objects in my butthole. Check the size of my prostate. Yep, my annual exam. He wants to check for mounds, spores, mold, dry rot, and other conditions of the beleaguered soul scraping at this turmoil. On the phone, he told me he'd listened to my last podcast. He said that in my podcast, I sounded sick and I probably had scrapies. He's recommending a multi-part organ surgery, a massive replacement of the insides with something else. Yeah, he told me he had a Ukrainian friend. A Ukrainian friend named Pavel. He said that this Ukrainian friend would meet me at a hotel on the edge of town. The Ukrainian said that I should bring, and I quote, several bags of ice, like 12 bags. He said the whole procedure might take a day or two or less. He wasn't quite sure. The guy pulls out my heart and lungs. He pulls out my kidneys and liver. He pulls out all my juices, all my grumbo juices. And then he does what he has to do. With my empty cavity, he shovels in sand. He shovels in broken glass, diesel fuel, and wood chips. And this only costs $20,000, and he disposes of the fresh organs. He says it's just part of the deal. Isn't that nice? But make sure you bring the 12 bags of ice. In order to do this surgery, I need gorillions of dollars, more dollars than I've ever seen, but I wouldn't mind getting a few bucks. Now, if you listen to this podcast and you like it, you're a special kind of person. And if you have the money and you want to donate, you can. I have a lot of donors who have been way too generous, and I appreciate their help, but boy, do I love it when a new donor pops me some money. But here's the key. A, you're not required to. B, please look out for yourself and the people you love first. These are hard times for a lot of people, and I wish I could tell you that I was Santa Claus and everything was going to magically get better. You want my economic forecast for this neo-Stalinist hellhole? Jerome Powell and the people that quote unquote think they run this country are going to keep the fucking plate spinning as long as they can. And then the only question mark, what then? If you think it's going to be hyperinflation, stagflation, recession, depression, you have been watching the wrong fucking movie. They will keep the plate spinning. And if you ask me, a lot of the plates already look wobbly, especially the plate that has diesel written on it. So these are not easy times, and I don't think it's likely they're going to get easier. It does not mean the end of the world. It does not mean that you should just give up. Maybe it means the fucking opposite, especially if you're a good person, especially if you're a person who has skills. And I don't mean the weird skills of this information economy. I mean skills that are useful. If you're somebody who is good and has useful skills and you have enough courage to remember that this life is also supposed to be about living it and being happy and not just getting by, you should not give up. It doesn't mean life's going to be easy, but it could be the most amazing time of your life, and it could be just weeks and months away. Some people will look at it and they'll say, it's the end of the world. Other people will look at it and say, no, it's the beginning again. And it really depends upon your perspective. And this isn't talking about end times. I'm not talking about the Christian epic here. I'm talking about ordinary, old-fashioned events that happen in human history, some of which are so catastrophic that it does seem like history, you know, sort of takes a new path. I for one, am not afraid of the reset. I think it's a lot of propaganda garbage. I'm not afraid of the one world government. Holy fuck, you think stupid scales up, you're wrong. I'm not afraid of any of those things. And if we've had a one world government, it was the one world government that turned the world off or tried to do that in 2020. So you already had it. You had your reset. You had your new world order. You had your fucking FEMA camps. It's over. That is one thing I think that is over. Okay, maybe not today, maybe not next week, but soon and for the rest of your fucking life. It's over. That world is done. But does that mean it's the end of the world, or does that mean that maybe the world is beginning to come alive again? Does that mean the end of history, or does that mean history's become unstuck? I kind of think it's the latter, not the former. So yeah, to make a long story short, I do talk about things that sometimes are a little bit hard to listen to, but maybe it's important that we at least try to think about them. Especially if there's people in your life that depend upon you, okay? And I don't mean depend upon you having a big bank account or a nice home. And I don't even mean depend upon you as in having a basement filled with prepper gear. God bless if you do, but if you believe any amount in your basement is enough, you are already doomed. I mean having the mental capacity to look this world in the face and say, throw it at me. I can take it. So if you've taken care of the people you love and you've taken care of your dogs and your cats, and let's just stop there for a minute. If you know why I never adopted a dog or a cat? It's really simple. And it's not the same reason as why I didn't have kids. I wanted to have kids. But the reason why, especially after my divorce, I didn't get a dog is because ultimately I could not guarantee that I could take care of it. I couldn't. My life was too disruptive. It was too broken. It was too much the life of a vagrant, a hobo, a transient. And yeah, you can have dogs in the streets, but it's kind of cruel to not be able to feed them and take care of them. So here's another thing to add to your list to do before you donate to my podcast. If you can, and you have a dog, a pet, a cat, something like that, do your best to do a little bit of prepping for them too. If you're going to prep, God bless, but just don't prep for the humans. Prep for the dog as well. I'm not saying this to be funny. I'm being serious because a lot of people, the first thing they're going to do in terms of the life raft, quote unquote, is they'll start tossing pets out. And my advice is there's something ugly and mean about that. Okay? My advice is that spiritually, it's not going to be good for anybody if that's what we all start doing. You know, hard times are hard times, okay? And if you have to eat, you got to eat. And if things get so bad that we have to do things we don't even want to talk about, fine. But it's also a blessing, if you can right now, to make those preparations so that life doesn't have to be that cruel, you know? So if you've done the things you need to do and you've taken care of the people you love, to include your dog or cat, and if you have those preparations taken care of and you still have a few bucks left over, you can donate to my podcast, Dr. Freckles PayPal. There's a link in the notes, baby. Just donate if you want to. And if you have gorillions and you live in some abandoned missile silo in Montana and you have all the hookers and the cocaine you need, Hunter, you can take some of that PPP loan, that golden shower, and you can spray it my direction. I'll take it, baby. I can take it. I'll take as much as you want to give. Take that golden shower and spray it my direction. And for Tuesday, June the 7th, 2022, Bo Blimp Talk, have a great rest of your day. Until you hear from me again, friend.